So we're going to get right into the Word tonight, and we're just going to share some thoughts along the lines that the Lord had dropped into my heart. You know, we've had a busy week down here at Heart of the Bay. We've had 30 little kids, 30 children, and 30 adults, and our hallways, our foyer, it's been filled with laughter, it's been filled with fun, it's been filled with the Word. It's been such a great time. And last night when I got home, I sat down on my couch around 7:30 after getting dinner and such, and all of a sudden I just started having this sense of what the Lord wanted shared tonight. So all I had next to me was a little crayon, so I picked it up, and I'll tell you, the best sermons are done by crayon. So I started writing some thoughts down, and it started getting developed. And so we're going to have some sharing of the Word, and we're going to have a time of prayer towards the end, okay? So what was dropped so much in my heart is that we, church, are standing on higher ground. We are, you know, there is actually a call of the Spirit. And that call of the Spirit is calling us to ascend to higher ground. And you know what that higher ground is? It's holy ground. It's the kind of ground that you just take your shoes off. It's holy ground. And when you come up to higher ground, you get a different perspective, don't you? You see things differently, and you can address things differently. And when you answer the call to this higher ground, that means that God will empower you with His grace, and His grace will affect your race. It'll affect how you walk. It'll affect how you talk. It'll affect how you live. It'll affect how you treat others and how you treat yourself. Amen? Amen. Jesus prayed this prayer. It's found in John chapter 17. And it's one of His longest prayers that's recorded in the Gospels. And we're going to start at verse 21 and 23. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. And it says this: I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as You and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with Us so that the world will recognize that You sent Me. For the very glory You have given to Me, I have given to them so that they may be joined as one. Together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in Me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect what? That's our subject tonight. Perfect unity. And the world will be convinced that You have sent Me, for they will see that You love each one of them with the same passionate love that You have loved Me with. And so the secret to that oneness and to us walking and being one as Jesus prayed, do you believe Jesus' prayers are powerful? Yes, they are. Do you believe that God the Father answers Jesus' prayers? Yes, He does. And He prayed that we would be what? One. It says here, again in that verse, for the very glory You have given to Me, I have given to them so that they may be joined together as one. So He has given us what? His glory. He's given us His glory that we might be made one. What is the glory? Well, it's the manifested presence of God. The manifested presence of God. Walking in that presence. Amen? Walking in that place. Do you ever notice how beautiful it is when the manifested presence of God comes down? Yeah. You know, you can experience it as an individual. You can experience in your home. You can experience it here in the church. You can experience in the highways and byways and in the world. But I'll tell you, when the manifested presence of God comes down, when the glory comes down, something happens. I mean, you forget about everything else. Everything else grows dim. All the strifes, all the divisions, all those things, they just disappear in the presence of God. None of it matters in the presence of God. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 in the NIV, and it says this: "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." What's the calling we're talking about tonight? A call to unity. A call to come up higher. A call to live and walk in holiness. Amen? So that we can see what? The manifested presence of God in greater and greater dimension. Verse 2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, forbearing with one another in love." That's the fruit of long suffering, and that fruit lives in you. And it can grow, and it can be developed. And to walk in this oneness, we have to develop the fruit of long suffering, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Amen? Yeah, amen. Glory to God. Verse 3 says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So we've got to keep it. That's our job. That's our role. We've got to maintain it. We've got to preserve it. How do we do that? By being salt and light. Salt is a preservative. And when we have seasoning about us, it's flavorful. And people like it, and they just want to taste it and know that God is good. Hallelujah. Verse 4. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and all." Now let's look down to verse 16, and we're going to read that in the passage, in the Passion Translation. And it says this: "For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in" what? In love. In the love of God. That's the agape kind of love. Amen? It's unconditional love. It's not earned. You don't have to have merit for it. It's unconditional. God loves you with agape kind of love. We are to be united and not divided. And there is a call for unity in this day and in this hour. And it's a call of the Spirit. You know, you cannot walk in that place without walking with him. Amen? We're called to be united and not divided. The enemy seeks to divide. Why? Because he can conquer. If he can divide us, he can conquer us. And the work that God needs to do in and through us. Amen? Divided simply means this. It means to split into parts. It means to separate. It means to sever. It means to divorce. I don't want to be divorced. I don't want to be severed. I don't want to be separated from my brethren, my sister, from the body of Christ, from my Father God, from the manifested presence of God, from His glory. Amen. This environment of division is filled with strife, confusion, and what else, church? You know, every evil work. So, isn't that how the door gets open to the enemy? It's through strife. It's through division, which brings confusion. Have you ever been there? And then it produces the fruit of every evil work. Well, unity, let's define that. Unity means oneness. It means harmony, mutual respect. It means peace. It means connection. In the Greek, it means planted together. Planted together. And when you're planted together, you can receive nourishment together. You can grow together. You can thrive together. It's a living thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Living in harmony. Unity is the very character of Christ, and despite differences of opinion and style, we can all come together where? At the foot of the cross. Amen? We can all come together. Psalms 133:1 says, "Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together." Have you ever just heard, "Can't we just all get along?" Yes, and amen, we can. Now, we're called to unity, listen up, but not uniformity. Okay. We're called to unity, but not uniformity. It's not the fight for uniformity. True unity requires diversity. And it's like when a man is joined to a woman, the two shall become what? One flesh. And so diversity is required for biblical unity. So it's not like we have to be exactly like everybody else. That's not what God has created. He's created us so unique and so different and so precious that each one of you have a different thumbprint. You have a different eye pattern. You have a different voice. Amen? You have different gifts, abilities, talents on the inside of you that He just wants to grow and develop. And it's so much fun when you let go and you let the Holy Ghost take over and you let Him lead the way and you simply follow. Oh, hallelujah. What He'll do in you, and then what He'll do through you. And there's no greater joy on earth than to be used of the Holy Spirit. So it's time, church, to step up, step out, and step into the things that He's calling you to individually. And what He's calling us to collectively is to walk in unity. Mm-hmm. Because the time is coming for the early and latter day rain. It's already begun to fall. But it's going to fall in greater measure, in greater intensity. And He wants to use you. The glory wants to fall on your life, on your vocal cords, so that when you speak a word, it's a word in due season. Amen. And oh, they hear. It's so blessed because it's life coming to them. Yeah. It's just what they needed to hear. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. It's just what they needed to know. Glory to God. We all have gifts differing. But in that same passage in Ephesians 4, it talks about how every joint has a supply. Now, that doesn't just mean some of the joints. It means every joint. You have a supply. You make a difference. Amen? You have purpose. And you'll never find out what that purpose is until you start walking in it, taking that step of faith. I hear all the time, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Start walking and find out. Start putting your hand to the plow. Start serving. Oh my goodness, when you serve in the local church, or you get out there and you serve in the highways and byways, God will bless your hands. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We all have a purpose, and we can't say, oh, I have no need of you. Isn't that what the scripture says? I mean, we have a brain, but if the brain said to the heart, hey, you have no intellect, you know, you don't know anything. The heart could turn right around and say, you know what? This heart is so intricately made. It's so amazing that it pumps forth life so that you can live, brain. Amen? Hallelujah. We can't all be the same. We can't all be one big eye or one big hand. That would be very, I mean, really? And so, how is it possible to walk in the unity of the Spirit, united and not divided? How can we navigate through this earth life and maintain this spirit of unity, keep the spirit of unity, and see the power of God? How can we do this? It almost seems like that's not possible. Well, I want us to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 14. This is familiar to you. It should be familiar to you. But we're going to just break it down just a little bit tonight. And we're going to read out of the Amplified Classic. So it says this. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and do what? So first thing he says to do, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. And then it goes on to say, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and do what? Heal their land. That's the land you're living in too. That includes your home. That includes your family. That includes your heart and your soul. Amen? That includes your church. That includes your nation. That includes our cities. It includes the Bay Area. He will heal our land. Verse 15 says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer offered in this place. This place. So again, let's break it down. Who are my people? Who is God speaking to? Called by his name. What is his name? Christ. What are we called? Christians. Amen? So he's talking about us, followers of Christ, Christians, his people. We're called by his name. It says that we will humble ourselves. Oh my. Sometimes we just don't like to do that, right? Because we think that we're right all the time. It's my opinion. It's what I think. No, what is his opinion? What does he think? Amen? We've got to lay down our thoughts and take his. We got to put away judgment. Amen? Strong says this, you've got to bend your knee. You've got to bring down into subjection and come under his word. You know, I remember one time somebody did something to me, and it was wrong, and it hurt deeply. And I said this, you know what? I have every right to be upset, and I have every right not to forgive them. I have every right to be angry. And the Lord said, yes, you do. You have every right. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. Yes, I do. You see my case. And he says, yes. But love does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. It's not self-seeking. Hallelujah. So I had to seek another way. Because my way wasn't going to work. Amen? But I grew in that place. Hearing God's voice. And admonishing me. And correcting me. Praise the Lord. So then it says, my people who are called by the name, if they humble themselves, if they pray. So prayer is a key to walking in unity. Jesus said this. He said, watch and pray that you don't enter into what? Temptation. So to walk in disunity, there's temptations everywhere you go, moment for moment, right? You can be irritated at the littlest thing. You can have something that feels like a pebble in your shoe and it just keeps irritating you. It's not going to go away till you take your shoe off and get it out. You've got to deal with it and not yield to the temptation of it. Not complain and murmur about it. You got to speak to it, not about it. Amen? Now, it's one thing to confide in people that you can come alongside. Sometimes you just need to get some things out and you need to get somebody who will speak the truth and love to you. Who will pray with you. Who will stand with you. That's what's awesome about the local church. Is what we're here for one another. We get to know one another. We get to love one another and serve one another. Amen? And so Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing. But the flesh is what? It's weak. So we don't want our flesh to be weak and overrule our spirit. We want our spirits to be strong. So Jesus says, how do you do that? You got to watch for these things. That means you got to be in communion with the Holy Ghost because he's going to show them to you. He'll point it out. He'll reveal it. Somebody will be irritated around you and you'll say, what's wrong with that person? And the Holy Spirit will say, that's what's wrong. Oh, well, I take authority over that. Or, oh, I need to pray about that for that person. Amen? How about praying just in the spirit where you pray out mysteries? Amen? Things that maybe you don't see or know, but the Holy Ghost knows. And when you pray in the Spirit, he prays through you. And you pray out that mystery. And you might start praying and you might not feel a thing, but you'll just soon, if you just stick with it, you'll step over. You'll step over into the Spirit. And when you step over into the Spirit, the Holy Ghost will start giving you words. Amen. And you'll start praying those words out. You might not even need what they all might not even know what they mean, but you pray them out, and he's working through them. He's working through those prayers. He's moving in behalf of that situation, in behalf of those people, in behalf of the loved ones, and he'll use you to do it. And here's what I find: when I start yielding to that kind of prayer, spirit-led prayer, Holy Ghost prayer, what begins to happen is the Holy Ghost begins to work in me. And I begin to see them differently. I begin to see them as God sees them. I begin to see the situation like God sees the situation. You know, from that higher place, from that higher vantage point, when you come up higher, you have a different vantage point. You see things differently. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the other thing that praying in the Spirit will do, it'll actually show you how to pray. Sometimes you have to pray and get direction on how to pray and what prayer to pray. Amen? What about this situation? Well, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert. There it is again. Stay alert. Don't fall asleep. It's easy to fall asleep. There's all kinds of distractions that get your attention. And pretty soon, you're not watching in the Spirit anymore. You're watching in the flesh. So stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert and watch with strong purpose. There's a cause and there's a purpose to pray in this way. Amen? It's God's purpose. It's God's cause. And you get to work with heaven. It says with strong purpose and perseverance. Don't you know sometimes you're laboring in prayer and you're laboring for situations and they've gone on for a long time. Almost eternity, it feels like. It's not, but it can feel that way. And you want to give up. And you want to give in. And you want to say it's not working. Then you exercise perseverance. And you stick with it. How long do you stick with it? Until. Amen. Until. Until. Glory to God. Strong perseverance. Everybody say, strong perseverance. Interceding on behalf of all saints, God's consecrated people. So we've got to be skillful in prayer. We've got to know how to use prayer. The prayer of faith. You know, when we pray the prayer of faith, we pray it once and we follow it up with faith and with thanksgiving. So don't just let it go. You prayed the prayer of faith. Okay, that's good. Good for you. Keep thanking God. Keep thanking God that he's working. Amen. Amen. How about the prayer of agreement? Sometimes you just need somebody else to come alongside of you. And you just need them to stand with you because you need to have mutual faith over a situation. And when you have that mutual faith, there's something about that bonding that is so powerful. The word says one could put 1,000 to flight, but two could put 10,000 to flight. And you'll call up a one. They'll come alongside of you, and there's just something so powerful about supporting your faith and helping your faith and lifting your arm up. Amen? So that you can continue to stand. And the Bible says in Matthew 18, 18, 19, that the prayer of agreement is so powerful that if you pray it and your agreement with God's word and his will and one another, it shall be done. It shall be done. I mean, that's good news, church. It shall be done. Then how about the prayer of binding and loosing? Sometimes you're praying in the spirit and you're just, okay, you're just taking your journey in the spirit, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will say, hey, you got to take authority over that. You got to bind that thing. Other times he'll say, you know what? You got to loose some things. You got to loose provision. You've got to loose the angels. You got to loose the word so that the word can have free course and be glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. How about the prayer of consecration? Now, that's a good one. Sometimes you're praying in the spirit and you're praying for something. If you just keep praying in the spirit, the Holy Ghost will show you, you know, you need to pray the prayer of consecration. It's not about your will in this situation. It's about my will. Amen? Especially parents. Isn't that true? We have certain visions for our children, but God has his vision. And we just got to pray for them to walk in line with his will, his plan, his purposes. And sometimes they just have to be on a journey to discover what that is. So pray for them in the spirit. And I'll tell you what, it'll set you free. It will set you free. How about the prayer of supplication, the prayer of petition? You've got to have something written down when you come to pray the prayer of petition, the prayer of supplication, and petition heaven with your request. The prayer of committal is when you commit something to God. I'm telling you what, it's powerful when you commit something to God. So if I write a scripture on this piece of paper that I have chosen to stand upon that applies to my case, then I've got to pray the prayer of faith. I've got to take this piece of paper as if it was the care, and I've got to do something with it. What do I need to do with it? I need to cast it, right? So, If I cast it on the Lord, who has it? He does. He says, cast the whole of your care. That first word is a noun. You've heard me say that before. It's a person, place, or thing. Because he cares. That's a verb for you. That means he takes action. So that when you exercise faith and cast it over on him, he takes action. But here's what we do. So often we go over here and we say, but let me help. That's not the prayer of committal. Amen? His arm is not shortened, that he needs your help. Sometimes you just, you know, you've got to be like Ruth. You've got to just sit and wait. You've got to just cast that care and let God work. Let God send laborers. Let God do what only he can do. And you use your faith. Amen? The prayer of warfare. How many of you know that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood? That we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in heavenly places. They need to have us take authority over them, but we need to recognize that the weapons of our warfare, church, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God to pull down strongholds. Amen? And strongholds have different things that they look like. Different people have different kinds of strongholds. You could have mental strongholds because you took a thought and you kept meditating on it, became a stronghold in your thinking. You can have that for good and you can have it for not so good. Amen? You can have it where God's working in that stronghold or when the enemy's working in that stronghold. So we got to pull those down. How do we do it? By doing just what we said, praying, humbling ourselves, coming, seeking him. Amen? Praying again in the spirit, addressing the root that produces the fruit. People want to look at the fruit and do something with that, but you got to look at the root. If you don't look at the root and pluck the root out, you're just going to keep getting that same old fruit. Amen? So seek. How about seeking him? Seeking him, beholding him, seeking his ways of being and doing. Are you seeking his ways? That's what it says. If my people who are called by my name, that's Christians, will humble themselves, I'm coming under you, Lord. I don't need to do it my way. I want to do it your way. He says, if you humble yourself, he'll give you more grace. He resists the proud. When you're doing it your own way, it's pride. When you're doing it the way that you think it should be done, it's pride. But when we humble ourselves and we do it his way, he gives you more grace. More grace to be able to conquer the situation. Amen? And so getting into the Word and allowing the Word to reflect to you what he says about you, who you are, the victory you have in him, allowing that his will to be reflected in you, looking into the Word. You see, the Word is a living book. It's alive. It's powerful. It's quick. It's sharp. Amen? And it will speak to you. It will breathe life into you. It's a living book, and it's living words, and they want to live in you. It will give you revelation of him. It will give you revelation of yourself and of the situations around you. But you got to seek it. You have to read the same scriptures. I mean, you could just look at a scripture. Maybe you've read it 1,000 times. You've gotten good word from it. But all of a sudden, God comes down and shows you something. He shows you another facet about it. It's sort of like a diamond. A diamond is has different facets about it. So we need to sometimes look at it through another lens, another facet. We need to harvest a word out of it. In order to harvest a diamond, you have to mine diamonds. You have to search deep in the earth for diamonds. Diamonds are excavated from molten rock, and it's called kimberlite. And miners, they seek diamonds as their treasure. And on an average, more than 20 tons of kimberlite must be processed. 20 tons must be processed in order to procure just one diamond. The surrounding rock must be crushed to find the diamond in the rough. You must clear away the external kimberlite and the outer layers so that the diamond can emerge. And it will emerge with all its brilliance and splendor. The diamond in the rough doesn't always look like it has any value. I was given a small diamond once. It was a diamond in the rough, and it looked like a piece of dirt. It didn't look like it was anything that you would keep. You would probably just discard it, not knowing that it carried value. To fulfill its purpose, it's got to be cut and it's got to be polished. But even then, the true value cannot be seen with the naked eye. The value is determined by looking into the diamond with a trained eye for its clarity, its color, its cut, and its weight. The carat. Amen? The diamond is the hardest of all known substances, and it actually takes a diamond to cut a diamond. The same is true when looking into our lives and the lives of others. You know, there's many souls out there that are diamonds in the rough. We've had places, all of us in our lives, that are diamonds in the rough. Places that are hardened, crusted over. And by looking on the outside, you cannot discern value. With the naked eye, there's no way. But only God can look into the heart of mankind and see the potential that's in there. See the person that he has created. So then we must assist in clearing away all the externals and outer layers so that the true person can emerge. And they emerge again with all their brilliance and splendor. And part of that happens when we pray. Now, when we pray, prayers go up. And God, I'm telling you what, sometimes they're just stored there. And a person, maybe their heart hasn't turned there, and it looks like nothing's happened. It looks like nothing's happened. But all of a sudden, they turn their heart to God. And all those prayers come flowing down. And all the power they contain comes flowing down. And you'll see that one. You'll see them grow by leaps and bounds. Take heart. Amen. Your prayers are working and they're eternal. Amen. And so, praise the Lord. We are often repulsed by sin and things that people do and behaviors and all of that. There are shortcomings in people's lives. We don't often want to embrace people like that. But you know what? You can miss an opportunity. And we're talking about walking in unity and walking in that place with one. And all of us have to use the sandpaper of the Holy Ghost. We have rough edges. And God's going to continue to work in our lives and help us to grow. So let's look at one another that way. Look at the family of God. Sometimes we're diamonds in the rough, but diamonds no less. Diamonds with potential. We need to see people as diamonds. Jesus said they will know us by our love. So, just in closing, some of the other things that were in that passage of scripture that we read about prayer and how we can walk in the spirit of unity by humbling ourselves, by seeking God, by praying, by craving. That's intense desire. You've got to have an intense desire. You've got to yearn. You've got to hunger. You've got to thirst for God. And if you don't have that, ask him for it. If you're not hungry, something's wrong. Sometimes, you know, it's just life gets so busy. You leave your first love. Just come back. He's right there waiting for you. Just, if you're going the wrong way, turn around. Amen? Ask him to give you that hunger once again. That you can hunger after him. You can thirst. You can crave him. You can require of necessity God's face. Amen? And then, lastly, that helps you. Because then you can turn from your wicked ways. You know what a wicked way is? A judgmental attitude. Oh, Lord, help me, you know? Help me, Lord. Help me not to have a judgment. Help me to see like you see. Help me to walk like you walk. Help me to love like you love. Help me to be like you be. I'll tell you what. In the book of Acts, when they were in one accord, what happened? The power of God fell. That's when the Holy Ghost presented himself. And when you turn from wicked ways of wanting to do things your way, or, you know, just not humbling yourself in a situation, we've all lived there from time to time and need to make adjustments and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and get that rough diamond shining and brilliant and beautiful. I'll tell you what, it opens the door for the manifested glory of God to come into your presence, into your life, into your home, into your family, into your church, into your city, into your nation, and throughout the world. Amen. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. We just want to stand on that platform, Lord. It's a platform that we can stand on, the platform of unity, where we can stand and we can watch you work in mighty ways to help us, Lord, so that our hearts are tender towards you and tender towards one another, forbearing one another, loving one another. We're not going to agree with everything, everybody else. Hey, I don't agree with myself sometimes. Amen? But we can maintain, we can keep, we can endeavor to walk in the spirit of unity. And God's calling for it in this hour. So guess what? Judgment starts in the household of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to share tonight. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just thank you. We give you praise for this place, Father, that you are calling your church unto. That place in the realm of the Spirit where we walk above the fray and we walk with the spirit of unity. We walk in oneness. We walk in harmony. We walk in peace. We walk in connection with one another. Lord, this is not something that we can do in our own flesh and in our own strength. It takes the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to ascend to a place of unity. Oh, we just give you praise, Lord, that you are working. You're working. Everybody say it. You're working in me. Oh, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my will. Have your way. Move in me. Work in me. Help me to see as you see. Help me to love as you love. Help me to talk as you talk. I choose a spirit of unity in my home, in my life, in my church, in my workplace. Ooh, you can be that one. Oh, that influences Rama Sote Shikre to se petito rebete. God will use you as the peacemaker. Primoso, not the peacekeeper. Not just keeping peace, but making peace. Oh, Brimandu Jigre Seledo Rama Sote Brebete. Use us, Lord. Here we are. Use us to be peacemakers in the earth, to walk and to call others to a spirit of unity and harmony, Lord. Help us to guard our gates, our eye gates, our ear gates. Help us to guard our heart and our mouth. Out of the issues of life, come out of our heart. Help us to guard our heart from evil and from evil speaking. Help us, Lord, because we are the army that's arising in the earth today. And it starts with church. It starts with the church. It starts with the church. And we arise, Lord. And we lay down our own will and we take up yours. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.